We rise in honor of hearing the gospel of the Lord. The Holy Gospel for this Reformation celebration is recorded in the Gospel of John, the 8th chapter, beginning with the 31st verse.
Glory to you, O Lord.
So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are all offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, anyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you all from God, our Heavenly Father, and from his dear Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. If you will take a look at the bulletin insert, we're going to be referring to that during the course of the sermon as we celebrate this 499th anniversary of the Reformation. Our scriptural passage is based on the gospel lesson for today, and the phrase that says, "You will become free." Join me as we go to the Lord in prayer. Most gracious and loving God, we are always thankful for the gifts and blessings that you have given us. We give thanks always for your Son, Jesus Christ, who came into our lives and on this earth to give us forgiveness and the promise of the resurrection that is to come in his name. We today also give thanks for the sainted Martin Luther, who led the church in a reformation that brought us back to focus on your holy word. That is only in the belief of that word that we are truly led to our salvation and peace for our lives. Bless us, Lord, as we continue to be faithful to that word and do all that it instructs us to do. In the name of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We have an interesting time in our lives in which we are bombarded daily by news accounts, by things we see in the print, in which individuals and organizations proclaim a truth that kind of helps us live our lives and make decisions accordingly. Now, I'm personally tired of all the commercials, and believe me, I will be happy dancing in the streets when November the 8th comes around, because hopefully that will be the last that I have to hear of a political commercial. But there are other things that are being told to us as being truths. Things that we can Google, Facebook, Wikipedia, which while we read them and in many times put our truth and our understanding of what's going on in these servers, how do we really know that there really are truth? Do you all realize that a lot of those websites like Wikipedia is not based on anybody's expert opinion or even doing any facts checks or even doing any research on their own, but it's based on what I feel? and then sharing it on Wikipedia, and that's how they come and now share it with the rest of us, and we all think that that truly is the truth, a truth that will be forever setting us free from all the falsehoods that are around. Now, remember, this Reformation was not done in a vacuum. There was a church that was telling its people what the truth was. Truth such as, in order to have forgiveness, it is more than by God's grace or by his mercy alone, but by doing certain things such as paying an indulgence, which is, for those of you who don't remember Catechism 101, was a way in which the church solicited funds to build the cathedral and do whatever else it felt it needed to do with these finances and help its people to realize, like we all hear in a few weeks here, that it takes money to do certain things and it takes God's word to be supported, but we do it based on a particular truth. A truth that doesn't come from me, a truth that doesn't come from any member here, but a truth that's based on God's word alone. Martin Luther, in his study, felt that this was one of the several things that he felt the church was going down a road that was in error and was leading the people not to salvation, but to again to believe in falsehoods that did not make it true. And so he proclaimed it in a way to correct the church. In fact, if it was Martin Luther's wish, he would not like to have seen a division, a schism, so to speak, where we were separated from the Roman Catholic Church. In fact, he definitely would not have approved of us, meaning good Lutherans, taking on his name for the sake of his truth to again create a whole new denomination. He was trying to reform it, to have the church correct itself from its error and to move forward in the proclamation of the truth that is found in God's holy word. That's why, as you look at the back of the bulletin, you will see these key phrases. This truth is based on not by what we would like to do or what the law tells us we ought to do or tradition, but it's by God's grace alone. The grace that we cannot earn, the grace that comes to us freely by God's own hand, the grace that is ultimately expressed in God's sacrifice of giving his Son, Jesus Christ, on a cross for our sins, and to show us how much that grace is only sufficient for all the things that we can do and all the things that we need to know how much we love and how merciful God is to deliver us from our own sinful nature. It is by only God's grace that we are made free, that we are set to be God's faithful people. Now, many of us in our own daily practice, and we've heard it in our conversations, figure, well, if I am faithful to go to church every week, if I'm faithful to study God's word on a daily basis, if I'm faithful to do those things God would command me to do, such as to give to the poor, to help those who are in need, to help those who are experiencing tragedies, to remember them up, as we will again in a few moments in prayer, that in itself would get me a little further up the salvation ladder. That in itself would make me acceptable to God. That in itself would make me the child God wants me to be because of those actions. Again, it is not by these actions that make us to receive God's salvation, but it is by God's grace, by God's mercy, and by God's act of caring for us in a way that we cannot care for ourselves or make a supreme sacrifice for our sins or the sins of anybody else. It is only by God's grace and mercy alone do we receive this wonderful gift of salvation. Martin Luther expressed that to the people, to understand that God's grace is sufficient to help, to guide, and to lead us into his everlasting arms. He also taught us, as we see, that it is also based on faith alone. Now, faith is one of those things that a lot of people think you have to earn it. You know, you'll give a child a lot more freedom when he demonstrates that he has earned the right and respect to achieve it, to get those responsibilities, to get that wonderful reward. I remember my father, when I was growing up as a child, decided to take me out to help him on his Saturday job, which he was a plumber. And so he would help me with the various things, whether it be digging ditches or carrying around pipe or doing other things that he needed an assistant to help him in. And although never stated, my faith was placed on after doing such a work, he would pay me a fair wage for my services to him on that day. And he was faithful to again do that act of paying me a fair wage. And I was all bright-eyed and looking forward to receiving that wonderful earned salary that I thought I did after sweating 8 hours or more on that particular day. Only to find out, as he was ready to divvy out, showed me the cash that he was willing to pay me, having faith in his promises, only to find out as he's ready to actually lay it in my hands to say, oh, by the way, there are certain deductions that we need to have an account of, such as, did you eat in my house this week? Yes. Well, I won't charge you the market price, but we need to take a few dollars off for you eating at the table. And I said, okay, that's fair. Then he said, oh, didn't I have to buy a new pair of shoes for you this week? Not because they wore out, because you outgrew them. And you said you couldn't wear them anymore. Well, I won't charge you the full price, but I do have to take something out since you now have earned this income to again help the family with this particular bill that you have incurred. Oh, by the way, you remember those clothes that your mother bought for you? That because of what you ate, you found yourself unwilling or inability not to wear them no more? And therefore, I can't even pass them down to your brother. We're going to have to buy you some new clothes. And he proceeded to go on, and then he also said, by the way, I could charge you taxes, but I'm not Uncle Sam, and that's not my right or ability. The responsibility falls on you, my mother and me, to meet that obligation. However, there are certain things that again, you are held accountable and responsible for. And so by his grace and mercy, my smile turned to a frown. The understanding that we now had, and by the way, that led me to the fact that I was going to be clear for anybody else I worked for to find out what the salary would be and what deductions that individual was going to take, but also to get true clarity on what his truth was in working for him compared to my understanding of the truth that I thought I was working for. When we look at God's word, and Martin Luther pointed out that it's not by what tradition or leaders of the church, but it's solely based on God's word. And it's not something that we earn or work off or work for, but it comes freely to us from God through his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's our faith in that belief alone that we achieve his mercy, his grace, and salvation for us alone. And then the last major point that he taught us. This is based on not what we think or not what we wish, but is based clearly on Scripture alone. Now remember, good Lutherans, when we start raising the catechism higher than Scripture, we need to be very cautious to make sure that our belief in the catechism or the doctrines of the church are truly based on Scripture and Scripture alone. That's why I got kind of queasy when I attended my one and only synodical convention. And there, as we were passing various resolutions, they were saying that, like a statement which was passed at the one convention, was equal to Scripture. And I would say, because we voted for that, that makes it so. And I had not, at that time, had the ability to do my own research, to check it out for my sake, to make sure what the convention was passing out and saying that we need a vote for because it was scriptural, without me having the opportunity to study it, had some difficult time accepting that particular document as being equal to Scripture. That's why I say to you at all times and all places, God gave you a mind. God gave you a heart. God gave you the ability, as Martin Luther proclaimed and in his own teaching, that you just don't depend on someone telling you, but that you have the ability with your own mind and reason to study it and to learn from it, from the source and from God's holy word. You know, Martin Luther believed, and that's why he created the large and small catechism, so you weren't just depending just on the teachers, what they said, but that you can acknowledge that truth in your own study and understanding of what God's word is. That is why we as Lutherans put a high standard on catechism study, that we just don't accept your membership by just your confession, but by your study initially and continual study of God's word through these sources that the Lord and the church has provided for you. And the great writers and teachers of the church remind us always to get and to study God's word faithfully and to understand it. That's why I say to you again, it is this truth, it is God's truth that we read, learn, digest, and study in God's word that is going to make us free. And if we use that word, it is only that word that will help us to acknowledge that we are free indeed by what God has given us, how he has blessed us, and how he continues to lead us. During this week, I invite you, if you haven't in a while, to again to pull out and blow off the dust, I'm sure for many of you, on your blue catechisms. If you don't know where one is, call Bob in the office, and I'm sure he can help you order one from Concordia. But to read and to see how this word leads us to say it is not by us, but again it's by that word, that we will understand more fully how Jesus, through the truth that he shares, not only in our study, but also in our practice, to truly be people of God who truly do know what is important and how this word of God and its faithful adherence to it truly does make us free to be God's loving and caring individuals. And in the process, may we all, as we exercise our right as citizens of this great country, to again seek God's truth to lead us in good conscience to make a decision that is pleasing in his sight as we elect our leaders for the next few years, to again to carry out not my will, but God's will for us all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, and the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with us forevermore. Amen.